everyone, it's Richard Lewis here again with another video. I've been incredibly busy, as I'm sure a lot of you know, doing the podcast, doing a daily show. I've been working on getting the merchandise store set up, getting the website set up, and working on some reports. So it's been a pretty busy time, honestly, and I haven't had time for these kind of videos, these like opinion pieces, observations, news that I kind of do, but we can get back to them now. And I'm going to do one that is long overdue, in my opinion, today. And that is talking about the rise of fake esports experts and people that are like rewriting history to try and synthesize credibility in this space now that all of a sudden we can all make money from esports and there's lots of investment money going around. Now, you're probably going to say, oh, but Richard, you've always had this stance of everybody's welcome to esports and let's all grow it together. Absolutely. These people are all welcome. What I don't like and what I cannot tolerate is the sheer volume of people who are taking advantage of people, A, not knowing the history of esports, B, not knowing the history of these individuals within it, and C, just knowing that there's people out there who need guidance and pretending like you're the person who's got the answer despite you being relatively new to esports yourself. And this obviously has the knock-on effect of taking work away from people who do have that expertise. You know, I do consultancy work, so full disclosure, I have acted as a consultant on many occasions within the esports space. I feel that my tenure in esports over a decade of experience is going to enable me to do that. It's not something I really shout about. I don't advertise it. You know, people just come to me and I'll be like, yeah, sure, happy to do it. Now, I do know other people. For example, Red Eye, over at Code Red, they're a consultancy firm, and I don't know if this is impacting on their work, but certainly I'm seeing people getting consultancy work and I'm going, who the fuck are these guys? I'm Googling their names, I'm Googling their background, and there's nothing there. There's absolutely nothing there. And then just to compound it, what really spurred me on to want to make this video is there's a group of people who have absolutely fucked esports at various points in their career. When, if we go back, let's go back a decade now, and there was this growth potential in esports. We knew it was going to be big, we just didn't know when, and we didn't know how big. So some people tried to come in and throw a bunch of money in and control the scene. And as soon as it got tough, they took as much money as they could out of it, they broke a bunch of promises, and they just fucked off. And they never looked back. They never looked back. They never looked to make right on promises that they made. They never looked to pay debts because they're like, hey, we've just declared bankruptcy. Who gives a shit? And now some of these people are starting to come back. And people don't know who they are because their history hasn't been preserved, you know? And I saw this press release the other day, blew my fucking mind. Ted Owen launches Play API. This is PR Newswire. It came out on the 19th of May. This is almost a month ago at the time of recording this. And you can see, look, New York, May 19th. Ted Owen, the father of esports. The father of esports. Dad, is that you? You're the father of esports? Well, fuck me. I've been around a while and holy shit, I mean, I guess, do I owe you? You know, like, were you one of these incredible founding fathers, like, that I should have all this reverence for, right? Well, let's have a look. And he's launching Play API, has he? He was the first mover in the multi-billion dollar industry of esports through one of his first groundbreaking companies, Global Gaming League, which everybody will know as GGL, launched in 1999. He states that Play API, a company based on aggregating data across platforms and publishers, is just as innovative and, in his words, likely to be far more successful than the multi-billion dollar industry he is already responsible for launching. Again, he's claiming that he launched the whole of esports here, guys. Not just, a company, the whole fucking thing. In fact, it was during his time as CEO of GGL that he really made a name for himself in the video gaming industry. Now, those of us who remember GGL, right? This was a fucking... Stalin would be embarrassed by this revisionist approach to history. I'm going to get into that in a second, but you might not remember, there used to be a league called Clanbase. In particular, GGL did a bunch of other stuff. They were kind of at the forefront of, some other things. But I mean, most people will know them for their acquisition of Clanbase, because that's where it really starts to become an unprecedented disaster. Now, Clanbase was great. Clanbase was a league that anybody could sign up to. It used to run multiple games. And it wasn't without its problems, right? But I mean, at the time, it was pretty good, but it just didn't move with the time. And slowly, you know, it became apparent that ESL were going to kind of dominate what they offered, you know, which was online leagues and ladders for amateurs, semi-pros, and pros. You know, you kind of, these sites are 10 a penny now, but Clanbase was quite a reputable one back in the day. Used to run some prominent tournaments. I used to play on Clanbase way back when. Clanbase, I think, was one of the areas where I had like one of my first proper teams, you know, that and Enemy Down. So this was a reputable site. Now, this idea that, oh, GGL are these fucking amazing pioneers in the esports space and they did all this great work. Well, all right then, let's, what's Clanbase doing these days? Oh, that's right. It fucking sunk into the pit of fucking Sarlacc due to fiscal mismanagement, and not just fiscal mismanagement, just mismanagement across the board. And I remember some of the Clanbase admins, but fortunately I don't need to bring them out, because they put a fucking letter up which is on the fucking website now in 2013. Clanbase is no more, we are sorry. For those unfamiliar with the name, Clanbase once was a cool site to visit if you were an online gamer, it was. With cups and ladders hosted for games such as the Quake, Unreal Tournament, Counter-Strike, and Call of Duty series, a teenager really had quite some options for multiplayer entertainment. Heck, we even had LAN finals for our renowned Euro Cups, they did. Those days are far behind us, and as it stands today, the company that owns the Clanbase site, GGL, is unable to cover the costs required to run the website. I mean, think about that. Just think about that for a fucking second, guys. This is a guy claiming, hey, I built esports, everybody. Thanks. I built a $1 billion industry. Well, you couldn't even afford to run a website in 2013. What the fuck are you talking about? You didn't build shit. Moreover, lately the owners of the site do not wish to cooperate with the voluntary crew, keeping everybody in the dark and thus showing complete disrespect to people who spend many hours a day trying to make our tournaments a success. The website has now been offline for more than 3 weeks due to an unpaid bill. No action is being taken by the owner to get the website back online. Having no vision for the future, we, the Clanbase crew, have lost our last hopes about Clanbase ever coming back online. And unfortunately, we announced the end of a great era. Now, let's just skip through. This letter is fascinating, and for those who were around at the time, very interesting, just in terms of, I guess, when GGL came in, I remember everybody being super excited about it and excited what it would mean for Clanbase. And you can see here, things were going well until in 2007, Clanbase suffered its first heart attack when GGL couldn't deliver the prize money they put up for the Euro Cup. And I remember that well. You know, I was a writer, I was an established writer by that time. And this was ridiculous. You know, Euro Cup was still a prestigious tournament at that point. You know, the best teams, and best players competing in it. And it says this can be marked as the start of our downfall. It said here that the Clanbase crew has always been made up of volunteers, with the majority being just teenagers. Again, all these leagues and ladders used to operate like that. It's probably still true. All these admins are volunteers. And they just got completely fucked over. Now, I'm going to say something that will probably shock you in just a little bit, but you can see here, GGL still owes €24,000 in prize money, which will never be settled. That's another thing. Again, what I just talked about at the start, you know, these are businessmen. They come in and they know they can promise the world and put money out there. And they know that the protocol is, if you're bankrupt and you've got nothing, you ain't getting prize money. What are you going to do? Take them to court? It doesn't matter. They've been dissolved. There's nothing there. And this used to happen all the time in esports, that these pig fuckers would come into esports and they would fucking just say, hey, look, we've got loads of money. We're legit. We're mustard. It's still happening now. I mean, you know what I'm talking about, right? We'll put all this money down and then you're like, oh, well, they're definitely going to pay their bills. Don't have to, do you? You just declare bankruptcy and that's that. Business is bankrupt. There's no assets. Go fuck yourselves. All that prize money, all backdated salaries, all of that goes. And they know that because they're from the business world. People in esports, they're naive. They're green. They don't know about that world. And they think, well, if you've got the money, we're definitely going to get it, even if you have to wait a little bit. Nah, they know they can just hit the fucking ejector seat, get the fuck out, and you're not getting your cash. And businesses used to come into esports with that speculative potential, knowing that, you know, if it ever gets too bad, we just don't have to pay. You know, CPL still owes tens of thousands of dollars, if not hundreds of thousands, to teams all around the world. You know, established brands who just know, well, we're never getting that. And it's a fucking disgrace. There's honestly countless companies that used to pull this shit and run this game. I certainly wouldn't have the balls to start claiming I built an industry if I'd ever pulled that shit. So anyway, by the end of August 2013, another problem surfaced. The money ran out for the hosting. This is when Clanbase started to go down every month when the time came to pay for the next 30 days. And I remember it, the site was always down. It used to get explained away that they were doing improvements, they were recoding, they were doing this, doing that. It was a DDoS. It wasn't. It was the fact that people couldn't afford to fucking pay the bills to keep the lights on. Couldn't even keep the website up. By the end of August 2013, I read that bit. Of course, we tried to contact GGL through our manager, who was in charge of handling communications. As you may have guessed by now, he also failed to receive his payment for a while, and a company owing money to you and who knows how many others is not in a hurry to get back to you. The Clanbase management tried to directly contact the GGL founder and president, Ted Owen, the father of esports. Oh, hallowed be thy name, father, since everyone else left, with very little success. And whenever we got a response, it usually consisted of no more than a few words. The last we heard from him, he stated that GGL will move on without Clanbase, and besides, why did the crew never put any money in it? I mean, again, such a businessman response, like, oh, well, we're taking all of the risk. Dude, how much fucking unpaid labor did you have to keep that website running? And this is why I don't like the idea of these people coming back, and I don't like the idea of this history just being ignored. These guys are scumbags. They're scumbags. They did all they can to hamstring the esports industry, and it was good people like the admins at Clanbase, like the management at Clanbase, like the former GGL employees, you know, the very few who made anything out of the deal, who had to stick around, face the community, and try and make things right. What, and you just get a swan back in, you know, fucking, what, 4 years later, and pretend that none of this happened? Bollocks, mate. Not having it. It's a fucking disgrace. And we see these people time and time again. Already done another video, you know, people from the CGS coming back in, like vampires, like just, we're risen from the grave again. There's the money. I must feed on the cash. Like, fuck off. Like, you're not welcome. You ruined this fucking industry. You did all you can to destroy it. Right? You did all you can to fucking take out of it. When the going got tough, you fucked off, and now you want to come back in. Father of esports, mate, you're like the absent fucking father of esports. You don't just get to come back now that I'm all grown up and make things right again. You know what I mean? It's bollocks. Anyway, you can see here, again, what Mr. Owen said. You know, why didn't you put money in it? Well, Mr. Owen, the crew put time in it, and a lot of time, for free, every day. And to clarify, nobody's ever reached out to us to ask for any kind of financial aid. Not that we would have ever agreed to anything if the money had to go through GGL, as that would have resulted in the money never reaching its intended destination. So there you go. I mean, that's the death of fucking Clanbase right now. So that's just one group, one special group of assholes. The people who want to come back, you know, I still see, like, Angel Munoz, for example, from time to time. Hey, everyone. I'm the godfather of esports, and they get trotted out, and everyone goes, oh, bravo, yeah. Because the people who were applauding him weren't around, don't know what this guy did. And it's going to happen again here. So, you know, anything with Ted Owen's name on it, fuck that noise. Fuck that noise. This guy has got some atonement to make. Come back, write a fucking check, pay your fucking bills, fucking apologize, and then I might start saying, all right, okay, there's room at the table for you. Because right now, there ain't. We're overwhelmed with good people. We don't need dirtbags coming back in. So that's one thing. Synthesizing that credibility. Zero credibility. Zero credibility. You took something that was good and you drove it into the ground. That is failure. That isn't success. Esports did just fine without you. It succeeded despite you. You don't get to claim a fucking proud, rich legacy. Fuck you. So what else do we have? Well, unfortunately, experts are now rearing their fucking head everywhere as well. And what an expert likes to do, an expert likes to sell their expertise, don't they? That's what they do. They like to say, hey, I'm an esports expert. Okay, cool. That's great. And there's three categories, and I'm going to give you an example from each one. Basically, you've got the person with no expertise, the posers, I suppose you could call them. You've got the people with not very much expertise, but never shut the fuck up about it. And basically, they're kind of like, not posers, because they're complete. No, actually, no. Fakers and posers. Second group can be posers, right? So they're the posers. They've got a little bit of knowledge, a little bit of expertise, but they like to front that they've got way more. And then you've just got the complete bullshit artists, the charlatans, right? And they've got no expertise whatsoever, and they'll just say anything they got to say to get a fucking paycheck. And these three categories right now are ravaging the industry because we've got venture capitalists coming in. We've got big money coming in. And I will tell you this, as somebody who's been around the block and seen it happen time and time again, if that money goes to the wrong hands, if it goes on the wrong projects and it's bust, everyone will start pulling out. Everyone will start pulling out. If that bubble pops, we're all fucked. We're all back to square one. And again, it's not going to be these experts, is it, that are there digging, right, well, we got to rebuild. Let's lay the foundations again. It's going to be cunts like me. It's going to be fucking people like Sir Scoots. It's going to be people like fucking Anna Prosser Robinson. It's going to be the people who've got the tenure who care too much about this because we put our whole lives into this shit. That's who it's going to be. We're going to be rebuilding everything from the fucking ground up again. So this is why it's dangerous. So I saw this tweet by Red Eye, right? This is a while ago. This was last year. This is how long this shit's been on my mind. And you can see here, Red Eye, he said, I'm not entirely sure what this is or who these experts are in esports. Never heard of any of them, sadly. And there was this fucking website, right, called Esports Leaders. Esportsleaders.com/experts. By the way, if you go to that link now, I'll just show you. They were so fucking embarrassed because they got called out. They had to fucking get rid of it. They just deleted it. I mean, they just deleted their experts page. There it is. Look, 404. And they even changed their name. It's now the Institute for Esports Leadership, not Esports Leaders. Because you see, Esports Leaders, right, makes you think, well, they're the leaders in the industry. And they did it deliberately. I mean, they can pretend they didn't. They do pretend they didn't. As you'll see here. So I was like, again, who are these people? I know everybody in esports. It's my job to know who you are. I'm a fucking journalist, you know what I mean? I talk to everybody at all levels of the scene, and I've never heard of these people, and yet you're calling yourself leaders, right? What did I miss? So look, you can see here, this is one of the people, Carly Morgan, aka Cyborg Rain. She said, coming late to the tweet storm, but wanted to say, most of us study esports work tangentially to it slash play it, but we're not endemic. How dare you use the term expert then? And Red Eye said, which I totally understand, but if you are endemic, you aren't experts on it. See, great minds think alike. I think the site and title are misleading. And so we're chatting about it, RE expertise, innovation slash dev, development can come from people with an outside POV who see the forest, not the trees. And it's like, innovation can, sure, definitely come along. Don't pose as an expert though, because you don't have esports expertise, because you ain't been here. You haven't been involved in the scene to get that expertise. And he said, I don't disagree with any of that, unless you're passing yourself off as experts, which the site and the name, in my opinion, does. And they say, we are experts, just on esports, not in it. No, Carly Morgan, that's mental. That doesn't even make any fucking sense. We study sociologies of pro gaming, virtual worlds, labor exploitation laws. Fantastic. And you can probably apply that theory to to esports. It doesn't make you a fucking authority on esports, though, does it? You're an authority on those topics, nothing else. And then it's also super confusing when you say you're experts on it and your account said earlier you weren't. And then Adam Apicella, you know, another fucking legend, another esports expert, right? Said, how in the world are any of you experts? What have you actually done in the space? And, you know, this guy's got his finger on the pulse. Started this company thing to try and cash in on naive idiots that exist in esports. And he goes, it's a non-profit, it's a volunteer-run portal for research and development. We're all gamers wanting to support esports growth. And that's the other thing they do. The people that create shit like this will say, hey, look, it's not profit, you know? We just want to get out there. We just want to help grow this thing. No, I'm going to tell you exactly what you're doing. I'm going to tell you exactly what that was created to do. It's a bunch of people with no esports expertise, no tenure whatsoever. How do you fictitiously create expertise? What you do is you create a website that says you're an expert, right? And then every day that's there, that is your cumulative expertise. And you're going to say, well, look, you know, we've been doing this for all of this time, for all of these years. And it's like, yeah, but you just jumped into it. You know, you just jumped into it and you just made it up. And they know on a long enough time scale, people will forget. People will forget that they're bullshit artists. And it's just ridiculous. You know, like I say, these people have no expertise. In fact, I did watch this, just to give you an idea. You know, this Carly Morgan is the reason I left a British Esports Association, because they asked to have me on as the leading journalist to help develop journalists in the British scene. I can't think, honestly, like, I'll do this to the camera. I can't think of anyone better. Like, seriously, I'm from the UK. It's where I started. I'm a journalist. I put my whole fucking heart and soul into this. I think I've broken the biggest stories in esports. I've developed some of the best talent in esports. I've worked at some of the biggest websites, if not all of them. And I've got tenure and background and education. I think I'm a good choice for that. But as soon as she got picked, she started talking about how it was like an old boys club and she wanted more diversity on the panel. And I was just like, do you know what? I'm not going to do the identity politics thing. I'm not interested in that. I think I'm the best person for the job, regardless of my background. But if you want to imply publicly that I'm depriving people of the job, fine, have the fucking space. I'll be over here doing what I do. Right. And that's it. I'm not even having the argument because I know where it leads to. It leads to you getting called a misogynist, a sexist, a racist, a pig, you know, whatever it is. And I've got enough of that. You know, I get that on Twitter every fucking day. I'm not getting it in a professional capacity. No chance. So I bailed. And lo and behold, it's not like, you know, she didn't go out there and still didn't do work. I mean, again, this person gets invited to speak at places and I don't know why, because she's new to fucking esports. She's going and lecturing and talking on panels at universities about esports and what the demographic is and what it all means and what we need to do. You just been here. You just got here. You know, it's ridiculous. It makes no fucking sense to me that you would even sort of feel comfortable doing this, right? But let's have a look. Here's an example of just some of the shit that she fucking dropped last time she went out.
This esports is demystifying esports. So I thought we'd kick off with a quick discussion about what does this demographic look like? Why is it that this valuable demographic that makes up the esports audience is so attractive? So Carly, maybe if we start with you, why is it from your perspective that this is such a valuable demographic?
Well, I think the first point to reiterate that Andrew mentioned over the course of his presentation is that the main demographic of esports does skew predominantly young and male. So if you were just to survey our panel here for an accurate measure of the gender breakdown in esports, you might be getting a pretty clear view of what the global population of your average esports consumer looks like in terms of the gender relationships.
What are you saying about age?
So in terms of age, that's a good point. The average esports consumer is somewhere between, I'd say, 16 to 32, 35. Although if you're getting really down into the discrete details about specific titles and you're narrowing your focus to particular games, then I think you might see that window narrow even in a more refined way, something like 18 to 24, which tends to be, can everyone hear me? Okay, which tends to be a correlative to the age range at which you might find someone working in the professional gaming sphere as a professional gamer.
Right, now look, you know, I don't understand why, when asked, you know, what's valuable about that demographic, you preface that with a speech about how women aren't represented in esports and that it does skew predominantly male. I mean, it is predominantly male, but it's not that. If you know what you're talking about here, if you've been out there, I'm sorry, got my headset set on while I was listening to that. Actually, there's a surprising amount of women and girls that are interested in esports, and it's growing every year. And this information is readily available. You can download reports that just verify this, and they're completely free of charge. So I'm worried about these people going out and presenting this bullshit kind of vision, this overview of esports, because it suits their own personal politics. This is another reason why you got to watch yourself when these people are coming in, because they're going to tell you things and you might think, well, wow, what are we going to do? We'll get some women in this. I'm going to show you, Newzoo have quickly made themselves a name as being a reputable source of esports statistics. This is esports again, so we'll get rid of that. And you can see here, this is the freely available, you can just go and get this, it's a PDF. So this is what the Newzoo report says about the demographic and why it's a desirable demographic, age, gender of esports enthusiasts as of 2015. And there's actual more evidence to suggest that because of all the sort of programs we've been doing, the sort of help women and girls feel more comfortable in the space, that, you know, this is growing. And you can see here, you know, look, that the 21 to 35 year old age bracket for women makes up 16%, and for men 21 to 35 is 37%. So sure, it's 2/3 male, but that isn't you know, what she was saying, you know, on that panel. She was like, oh, you only have to look at this panel to see how women are, you know, it's just not true. And like I say, this is changing because you've got women-only leagues now. You know, the barriers to entry are kind of being reduced collectively across esports. So again, I was very keen to just kind of look at the, what is this expertise? You know, and I won't bring it up on this video. I don't want to shame individuals, if you like, but I got to use these people as examples. You know, Carly Morgan hasn't worked an esports job. Hasn't worked in the space. I at that point, how on earth do you feel comfortable talking about it? How on earth do you feel comfortable representing yourself as an expert? You've never built anything. You've never held a senior or non-senior position. There isn't another industry where that would pass, that would be allowed to pass. Just because esports is kind of growing, I think people are forgetting fundamental fucking basics here. And one of these fundamental fucking basics are that you wouldn't get hired for anything if you didn't have experience on your CV, right? Or qualifications, at least. Now, there aren't any specific qualifications for esports. There are qualifications for other things you can use to do well in esports. By all means, sure, have those. But representing yourself as an esports expert, it's nonsense. Absolute nonsense based on, you know, what you've done. So then you've got people who are a little bit better equipped. So I'll introduce you to a chap called Manny Anakal. Manny Anakal, I'm sure you'll have seen him on Twitter. And what he does is something that a lot of these esports experts, these wannabe esports experts do. They just collate links from like everywhere, right? And just post them out and say, look how I've got my finger on the pulse. When in actual fact, all they really are doing is just aggregating esports links. And that's pretty much what he does. Of course, you know, it's 2017, right? So obviously you have to have anti-Trump stuff on your Twitter feed as well. You just scroll through, and this is what he does. You know, it's like whenever there's an announcement about some new investment or new money or a new game being released, you know, like, or just even little weird quirky stories, you know, 3v3 basketball for the 2020 Tokyo Games, you know, an esports version of that, and another Pepsi Mountain Dew sponsorship, nicely done, gives them the thumbs up. And again, just look at what he's claiming here. He says he's an esports founder. Well, he's definitely not. He's not those things. In fact, his first job in esports was in 2014. We were well on our way to being successful then. He worked at MLG, very reputable company in the space, as a marketing manager. And that's fine. That's absolutely fine. You have a little bit of expertise, but these people, it's never enough. You know, they go to all these speaking places. They make up lies on their background about how long they've actually done. They're all desperate, right, to fake their tenure because we're legitimate now. You know, it was like the case like 2-3 years ago, even people would be like, oh, you spent 10 years in esports. Well, fuck your life. You know, what a joke that is. These guys now, they're all lying about it. They're all just like, nah, I've been here forever, me. And they conflate gaming with esports all the time. Here's Manny Anakal here at a New York Games conference. He says, I've been working at the intersection of gaming, esports, and marketing for 10 plus years. Well, yeah, the implication there being you've been working in esports for 10 plus years with all of those things. No, you haven't. You just haven't. So that's fine if you need to present that. So you can get invited to more speaking engagements. That's fine. But just know who these people are. And actually, these people do get found out pretty quickly. There was an interesting article. Let me see if I can find it. Called How to Become an Esports Expert, which is very applicable, actually, when we're dealing with Mr. Anakal and his line of nonsense that he puts out there. And you can see here, this is by Vance Gresham, and it's how to become an esports expert. And if you look, create a Twitter account. Yep, you absolutely have to have a Twitter account. And you say, founder/CEO of Made Up Media Sport Venture Enterprises Incorporated. And you'll see a lot of these people, this is a great point, have companies that they just founded themselves solely for the purpose of representing themselves in the esports space. So again, think about what happened there with these esports leaders and esports experts, right? Well, the Next Level, for example, esports foundation that Manny's on, it's just something that you've made just so you can turn around and say, you look, I got my own company in this. That's how successful I am. But it's like, you're only doing it so you can synthesize credibility in the space, right? So you do that. Step two, learn the origins. Yes, everybody does this. You go out there and you see people always start in 2011. They consider that ancient history in esports. And that's kind of when we started getting mainstream media attention. So what they do is they say it was started in 2011 by Riot Games. Everybody knows about League of Legends. Everybody knows about Riot. Sometimes people will know about Blizzard and they'll talk about StarCraft. But nobody talks about anything before that, did he? Nobody talks about that. And you can see you must shun any purported esports history prior to the commencement of Riot's Season 1 Championship. And again, I don't think they're deliberately shunning it. They just don't know about it. But, this is a sarcastic take on how they do it. Three, share articles and data. And that's all Manny does. He just tweets all day. Look at all this data I know. Well, what good is data if you can't contextualize it? What good is data, a link here saying, hey, there's this brand new game going to be released. Thumbs up, fire emoji, look at me, right? Well, you don't know, for example, that class-based games, class-based FPS games have historically failed in this space. You went around when Brink said it wanted to be esports, were you? You don't know about any of that. You don't know about any of that. And yet you're declaring that this game is going to be a success. Now imagine if I'm having that conversation, not publicly on Twitter to make it look like I know what I'm talking about, but I'm having that conversation privately with an investor who really wants to get into esports and is going to put a load of money in esports and thinks I'm talking to somebody who knows esports. Yep, here's the blank check. I certainly will follow what you say. Thank you very much. You've just bankrupted that cunt. You've just fucked him. You know what I mean? It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous to even have the gall to do that. You know, like, God, it fills me with fucking, like, dread. Like, there's potentially a big businessman out there that's going to get swindled. And that's all it's going to take, man. I'm telling you, it's still a fragile industry. All it takes is a few people not flying straight, and we're all back to fucking square one. You got that. And then, of course, four, make your opinions known. That's all you have to do. Just tweet out your opinions. Yep, this is brilliant. This will be the best thing ever. This will be awesome. Esports is awesome. I know all about esports. That's all you do all day, tweeting into the fucking void about how they know about stuff. And, of course, people think, well, God, all he ever tweets about is esports. So he must know and love esports like nothing else. Well, no, again, it's a business opportunity. That's all it is. That's all these people are treating it as. It's just a way. You know, a lot of the time, nobody likes to talk about this, but it is true. The first wave of greats in esports, a lot of them, and they won't like this, but it is just truth, were failures in other areas. A lot of these people who a lot of them aren't even still here, so, but the ones who are, probably will know what I'm talking about. But there was a lot of people who had businesses and they couldn't do it in the big world of business. So they came into esports and they faked a whole persona and they faked success. They just faked it. And everybody was sort of like, well, we're esports. We're all amateurs. So I guess, you're the king of the hill. Well done. You know, and it was just like it was ridiculous. It was, and a lot of these people still dine out on that shit, right? And now I see this new wave of esports experts. Yeah, doing it, and it's ridiculous. You don't know what you obviously aren't that credible in marketing because you're coming in here and you're having to lie about your background in a niche industry. You're obviously not the big success story you think that you are, and people are inviting them to speaking engagements about esports because the people who book the speaking engagements don't know how much expertise that you have. I mean, again, I can give you a list of people who are credible, authoritative esports speakers. You know, for example, when Bryce Blum come in, esports lawyer, right? He did the hard yards. he came cap in hand, said, I don't know about this, but I'm interested and I want to help and I want to offer my expertise. And he reached out to people like me and, you know, we guided him in. And now he's part of the fucking furniture. He's talking all of the time, but he still knows his tenure, where he is, where he's at. He's never shunned any of us and gone, fucking hell, I've been doing esports law for 10 years. You haven't, though. You've been doing law for 10 years. You haven't been involved in esports for 10 years. You know, you wouldn't let them get away with that, would you? You'd call them out on their bullshit, and people don't fucking call them out on their bullshit anymore, because it's like, we don't want to rock the boat, do we? Well, fuck that. These people are more harm than they are fucking good, and it's a matter of time. So if anyone wants to book credible speakers for an esports event, I'll give you a fucking list for free. I'll do it for free, right? I'll do the hard yards, because better than these people getting up high room of people with checkbooks, listen to what I've got to say. Right, now final segment of the lunatics, just the absolute frothing loons, and I'm going to start by talking about Kevin Dent. Now, Kevin Dent's going to get his own video because he's absolutely out of his mind. Kevin Dent is a failed games developer, basically. I mean, that's it. If you Google his name, feel free to do it. You'll just find loads of him just, you know, involved in like blackmailing people, slandering people, Twitter fights, saying ridiculous things. The guy's probably unhinged. But I looked at his Twitter feed just the other day, and you can see, like, if you look over here, you know, he actually, he's changed his bio. Oh, no, he hasn't. It's still there. You can just see over here. He says he lives in esports land. You live in esports land, do you, Kev? Fuck, I live in esports land, too. Whereabouts do you live? Doesn't live anywhere, does he? Because he doesn't live in esports land. He doesn't understand it. Now, you might remember the story. If you don't, there's a video of it in this channel. Go find it. And there was like a hoax. There was a hoax. A bunch of people, perhaps mean-spirited, you know, make of it what you will. Not the topic of the video, so we won't talk about it. But they pretended to be women to get into a women's tournament. And then when they couldn't produce identification cards, passports, whatever, that showed they were women, they were rejected by ESL. And then they went to BuzzFeed and they said, oh, we're being blocked because we're transgendered. And it was a spoof. It was a hoax designed to show that BuzzFeed don't research their stories, that they're, you know, dirtbags. And ESL were kind of collateral damage in that. Now, Kevin Dent, esports land, esports expert guy, he just jumped on this for some reason and started attacking ESL. And just look, like, just weigh this up. When PvP Live talked about this in a report, he actually didn't disclose that he'd done some consulting for PvP Live, and he kept linking their stuff. He said, I'm wondering if ESL is speaking for Valve, didn't tag them, Xbox, Intel, I doubt it. Well, I don't even know why Xbox are tagged there. And I'll tell you why he did that. Because he Googled CSGO and saw that, you know, oh, it used to be like a console game. You know, so he thinks in his mind, this is his level of expertise, right? But in now deleted tweets, he went on the ESL press officer about how he was in a secret meeting in Portland and he was going to, you know, stop sponsors and stop investment predicated on this hoax. Now, again, it's a hoax. It hasn't hurt ESL. It doesn't hurt anybody. The hoaxers have renounced it and said it wasn't our intention to kind of even put any shit on ESL or you know, and nobody looked at the legalities of what ESL were doing. They've got to have identification, hand out prize money, right? I mean, that's all it's about. You've got a valid ID to get prize money in Germany. So I don't understand the big deal, frankly. But he fakes this shit. And I mean, he really fakes this shit. I mean, he makes this shit up. As I said, I'm going to give you a complete video on this guy when I get around to it, because he can't even remember what year he graduated from Harvard. I started looking into the guy and he deleted his LinkedIn page. He just doesn't have one because he knows he's going to get caught out, because he just lies every day. He lies about how he sold the company. He lies about how he's a billionaire. He lies about what year he graduated from Harvard with a law degree. Doesn't strike me as the kind of guy who would. In fact, do you want to know what his only kind of success in the space actually is? It's a failed piece of shit game called Recoil with a K. And you're like, Richard, nah, for real. Yeah, for real, dog. Let's have a look at this. Let's have a look at Recoil, right? Do you remember Recoil? It won't surprise me if you do. Sorry, if you don't, because if you go to Metacritic, I mean, look at this. 32 out of 100. It's not good, dude. It's a fucking dud. And there's even a video of him on YouTube, which I've got, which I'll put in this next video, of him like basically begging for money, yet he's claiming to be a multi-millionaire. I think he claimed that he's made 300 mil or something ridiculous. I might be 30, I don't know. But anyway, you can see Recoil was universally panned upon release. He got 2 out of 5 out of 10 at Destructoid, where one game mode got praised. It got 2 out of 10 at Game Informer, criticizing uninspired game modes, classes and maps. This guy, that's his claim to fame, is it? And you're going to come into esports and start lecturing us about what to do? Come on, mate. You're having a fucking laugh, aren't you? And this guy, like I say, he actually lied about his expertise, and he spoke at a panel having lied, and I've uncovered this. And this is absolutely true. So he spoke at a DICE summit, okay? Now keep in mind, he's never held a job in esports. He's been involved in mobile gaming, other types of gaming, all of this stuff, right? But he's never had a job in esports, not one. And he did some consultancy for PvP Live. And here he is at a 2017 DICE Summit Roundtable. He's at a DICE Summit Roundtable. Kevin Dent, Chief Strategy Officer at PvP Live. I'm going to say something that might shock you, okay? He lied about that. He lied about that role. He has never been anything other than a consultant for PvP Live. He made up that title. PvP Live didn't approve that. I've spoken to PvP Live privately. They're like, nope, he has never been a chief strategy officer. We spoke to DICE. DICE said we didn't vet him appropriately. And he'd applied with like personal emails and everything. DICE said, it's all coming. It's all coming. This guy's full of shit. I mean, unbelievably so. But so he's gone to a round table to talk about esports. And look what he claims he's going to be talking about. How publishers and developers should position esports. We will discuss whether esports makes more sense as a profit-driven, profit driver, an engagement tool, or a promotional vehicle. We'll discuss the various approaches taken to esports by various developers and publishers, outsourced to professional organizers, run by an in-house group, etc. We will also discuss the role of an esports in-house organization, how gamers should be engaged, the cost of managing an esports effort, potential pitfalls, and potential opportunities. Kevin, mate, you don't know anything about any of this shit. Holy fuck me. This is wild. This would be like me getting up and trying to deliver a speech on the nuance of fucking property law. I ain't got a fucking clue. And if you put me in a room full of people who knew nothing about it, maybe I can style it. You gotta get the mortgages. Like, I wouldn't have a fucking clue what I'm talking about, but they wouldn't have a clue either, so maybe I get away with it. That's exactly what he did. Lied about his position, lied about working for a company, and lied about his expertise, and went to one of these things and openly talked about it. And everybody, oh, bravo, bravo. Like, honestly, that guy is fucked. I mean, who even does that? Who even does that? And these are the type of people that are out there misrepresenting themselves and misrepresenting esports and our fucking industry. And it's a disgrace and it is going to stop. I will expose all of these people. I don't care how many friends I lose. I don't care how much trouble I get into. It's got to stop. It has got to stop because I want this business to succeed. I'm invested in this business and I'm sick and tired of liars and bullshit artists and con artists and fakers and frauds and phonies taking advantage of it. It's not going to happen anymore. And I hope everybody's going to speak up about this moving forward. Now, I'll leave you with one little thing. Red Eye, obviously, as I said, you know, again, in the interest of disclosure, not that I need to disclose anything on behalf of Red Eye, but, you know, he is a consultant, right? And he's over at Code Red, which is a consultancy group and a talent agency and everything else. And he wrote an article about this and put it on LinkedIn, thank God. Anyway, what this article said is, and you know, I can't say I'm surprised, but just to give you an idea of the extent of the problem from somebody that offers this service professionally themselves, Red Eye said here, a year ago, I did a cursory search for esports consultant on LinkedIn and was surprised to find 73 listings of people claiming this role. I scanned through and noted I only knew 10 of them. Today, there are more than 350 people on LinkedIn claiming they are esports consultants in some form or another. How do you know if they are legit and truly have the right experience to help you make the most of your entrance into esports? And then he goes on to give a list of, kind of criteria, right? But it is insane the kind of growth that we've seen in this particular area. And Think about it. It's a niche industry. The expertise is finite. So how is this growing? How is it growing to that degree where it's like it's quadrupled in a year? Nah, this is all kinds of wrong. And there's a bunch of people out there that are basically dining out on an industry that's having a renaissance period without having contributed anything to it, sometimes having contributed negatively to it. And they're gonna get a bunch of paychecks they don't deserve, and they're gonna take money from people and put it into things that's gonna collapse and gonna fail. And those people aren't going to come back. We're not going to see those people in esports again. That harms the industry. And I don't think we can allow that to happen. So anyway, it might be a bit of a strange video. You guys might not care too much about it on this channel, but I hope you do. And I hope you'll, you know, like, comment, subscribe, spread this around. I think this is an important topic we need to start talking about, because as you can see from what Red Eye says, these people are growing. They're not going anywhere. So anyway, there you have it. Those are my thoughts on this particular issue. No doubt I'll be talking more about it. Keep an eye out for that Kevin Dent video. That's going to be funny. But until then, take care of yourselves. I'll see you on the next vid.